he's on the other side of the line. Well, I get confused as why
ready some
of yours.
Call a meeting to order. Subdivision 2006-26, Gravel Hill Properties, LLC. Mr. Lank, get the floor.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, dividing 204.47 acres into 276 lots using the cluster development concept, and a variance from the maximum allowed cul-de-sac length of 1,000 feet. Located east of Route 30, 200 feet north of Route 251. Try this again. On this application entitled Hastings Hollows, we have an exhibit booklet that was provided by the applicants. A little bit larger than the last one. Yeah, bear with me a second. It includes site data, site information, water service references, waste sanitary sewer system references, stormwater management references.
Hard to hear you.
Pardon? Yes, ma'am, I'll try again. We have a large exhibit booklet, okay? Which you've already seen, I believe. It includes site data, site information, water service references, sanitary sewer system references, stormwater management references. It also has a series of appendices which include maps and other data. It has been a part of the record since earlier this week and is a part of the record. Commissioners all have copies. We received the comments from the Technical Advisory Committee until December 20th of 2006. Mr. Robertson, the County Assistant County Attorney, commented on this application on January 18th of 2007. We heard comments from DelDOT. They were received up until January 22nd of 2007 and revised on August 8th of 2007 by fax. The restrictive covenants were received on July 2nd of 2007. The applicant's response to the TAC comments were received on July 18th of 2007. The applicant submitted an exhibit booklet and revised plans on August 6th of 2007. There was an email received on August 7th of 2007 from Dan Parsons, Sussex County Historic Preservation Planner, in regards to two cemeteries located on the site. Septic feasibility statement from DENREC indicates that the site is suitable for a community wastewater treatment system. And the plan and exhibit booklet references a 15-foot front yard setback. The cluster ordinance minimum front yard setback is 25. The plans will have to be altered to show 25-foot setback. That's all I have at this time, gentlemen.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant Gravel Hill Properties, LLC. Gravel Hill Properties, LLC is an affiliated company of Lessard Builders. And with me is Cullen Lessard and Paul Jones, both of whom are with the Lessard Builders. Also Gary Couples from ECI. The firm that did the site planning and the engineering, and also Eric Ostomchuk, who is the traffic engineer. As Mr. Lank stated, there was an exhibit book submitted, which you gentlemen have. That does contain a number of exhibits and documents that we'll be referring to in our presentation. And also there are copies of a number of studies that were performed, which are also in that exhibit book that is now submitted for the record. I realize that it is already after 9 o'clock, and everyone's been here for 3 hours, so we will try to be as concise as we can be, recognizing that we do have a responsibility to present certain information to you to support our application.
We appreciate that.
This is a subdivision application for a parcel of land containing 204 acres. The land is zoned AR, and no zoning change is requested. The property is located on the east side of Route 30, which is Gravel Hill Road. The site is just southwest of the town of Milton. There's a aerial photograph shown on the over to my left. As you can see from that, the property is mostly cleared farmland. There are several unique aspects of the property. One is to the rear, or the east of the property, there is an existing operating borrow pit, and that borrow pit is considered to be an existing non-conforming use. It predates the Sussex County zoning ordinance, and from some of the history we've obtained, as well as some aerial photographs, which I've submitted for the record already, it appears that it was started sometime prior to 1954, based on the aerial photographs, and has continued to expand over the years. A second somewhat unique factor here is that at one point in time, not currently, but at one point in time, this site was actually used for the discharge of some of the water that was used in connection, I assume, with the King Coal Cannery up in Milton that actually was put down there and then discharged through irrigation on this site. And then also, the site was actually included in the agricultural preservation designation at one point in time. And some of the maps you'll see, it is shown as being in the ag preservation program. However, it was removed by the owner in 2006. During the 10 years that it was in the program, the state did not purchase the development rights or the land. And at the end of the 10-year period, the owners did have it removed from that program. The site itself contains about 16 acres of federal wetlands. Those wetlands are all located between the rear of the borrow pit and the Ingram Branch area, which is located to the east. And just so there's no question, what I'm referring to is, again, this is the site. This is where the borrow pit's located. And all the wetlands on the site are located on this side, basically, of the borrow pit. And Ingram's Branch comes down, you know, through here. The wetland areas will remain undisturbed. They'll remain in their existing state, and they'll continue to act as an undisturbed natural buffer between the pit area and the site, and the Ingram's Branch area. The subdivision application for Hastings Hollow proposes 276 lots on 204 acres, and that's a density of 1.35 lots per acre. The design of the subdivision utilizes the provisions of the cluster ordinance. The development, as required by the provisions of the cluster ordinance that we're utilizing, the development will have central water and sewer. Water for domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Artesian Water Company, which, as you know, is a public regulated utility. Wastewater is designed to be handled by a central community wastewater system that would also be operated by Artesian. The collection, transmission, and treatment facilities will comply with DENREC and Sussex County regulations and will be constructed in accordance with Ordinance 38 standards. There's ability to serve letters from Artesian for both the water and the sewer in Appendix A of the exhibit book that we submitted. Also, as Mr. Lank mentioned in introductory comments, there is a letter of feasibility for an on-site wastewater treatment and disposal system, and that letter of feasibility was issued by DENREC's Division of Water Resources, and it's dated February 1st, 2007, and that's in Appendix K of the exhibit book. A new wrinkle on that, which really just occurred, is that on July 31st, the Sussex County Council, following your recommendation, approved a conditional use application for a treatment plant and spray irrigation operation on 1,700 acres of land, which is part of the Elizabethtown application. And that actually is also being done by Artesian. And as was recognized in that application, that proposal has a significant capacity to serve a substantial volume of users beyond the Elizabethtown proposal. And since Artesian is also basically who we are using for the on-site facility, we did receive a letter today. Well, I'm sorry, we did receive a letter. Actually, it is dated today from Artesian. And basically what that's indicating is that the Hastings Hollow wastewater may be incorporated into that regional wastewater system rather than our planned on-site system. As I said, that letter was just issued. I will submit that to Mr. Lank for the record. I couldn't submit that earlier because, it's dated today. In any event, Hastings Hollow will be served by a central community sewer system operated by Artesian, which would either be an on-site system or part of the regional system. Other utilities serving the development, electric service would be by Delaware Electric Cooperative, telephone by Verizon Communications, and cable TV by Comcast. The development is in the Cape Henlopen School District. It's also located in the fire service area of the Milton Volunteer Fire Company. The developer will be making a contribution to the fire company on the sale of each home in the development. Police protection is, of course, by the Delaware State Police, and because of the proximity to Milton, Milton Police would be available for backup or emergency situations. The Hastings Hollow development will be subject to a declaration of restrictions. All owners in the development will be members of an HOA. That HOA will be responsible for enforcement of the restrictions, for maintenance of the roads and common areas, and for implementation of an open space management plan to properly care for all community common property. As to traffic impact, development proposes two entrances from Gravel Hill Road, the south entrance being here, the north entrance being right at the extreme northern end of the property. Gravel Hill Road is classified as a major collector road by DelDOT, and as you know, it runs from Millsboro up to just south of Milford. A traffic impact study has been completed by Traffic Planning and Design, Inc., the traffic engineers on the site. A copy of that is in Appendix F in the exhibit book. The TIS recommends, subject to DelDOT's review and approval, that there be left-turn bypass lanes created on Gravel Hill Road at the site entrances, that D-cell lanes be installed along Gravel Hill Road, again, at the access drives. And the TIS concludes that under the 2011 future build conditions, that would be everything being considered as built, all approaches and turning movements at the entrance site will operate at a level of C or better at all times, and that the proposed development will have no significant impact on traffic along Gravel Hill Road. DelDOT has issued a no objection letter as to the location of the two entrances. The entrance design and any off-site improvements that may be required by the TIS will be addressed in the entrance permit process by DelDOT. As to the two proposed entrances that I referred to, the southern entrance is on a portion of the Hastings Hollow property. The northern entrance, as shown on the plan, is designed as a shared entrance with the property to the north. That arrangement has not been finalized with the property owner to the north, and depending on the outcome of that, it could result in a redesign as to that entrance. In any event, the entrances and the off-site improvements required by DelDOT will be the applicant's responsibility, and that requirement will be, and I'm sure should be, and will be a condition of any approval that you would grant. The actual streets in the development will be private, built to the county standard. As to the nature of the development, the type of development, the homes in Hastings Hollow are expected to have an area of approximately 2,400 to 2,800 square feet. The general range basic purchase price of the new homes and lot would be in the mid-$300,000 range. Options, of course, would increase that price, but basically the starting price would be approximately the mid-300s. And phasing hoped for would be approximately 50 to 70 homes per year once the development is set up and operational. Now, as to compliance with the applicable land use regulations, the development is located in the Level 4 area under the state strategies map. However, as I stated, it is just located southwest of Milton in what is certainly a very growing greater Milton area. The state strategies map itself shows, and this is in Appendix E of the exhibit book that was submitted, but I have it here and I'll just show you. The state strategy map shows that this is our site right here, and while that is in a level 4 area, it is immediately adjacent to the yellow area, which is a level 3 area, and approximately 1,800 feet from the level 2 area, which is the orange area surrounding Milton. And then, of course, Milton itself is a level 1 area, which is that small amount of red that's located at the north of this map. So you can see the actual development area comes right up basically next to the site. Additionally, the future expansion map of the town of Milton, this is in Appendix D of your exhibit book, and basically what the future expansion map is every town is required in their comprehensive plan to address future development, where that future development is going to go, so it's part of their plan. And in the future expansion map of the town of Milton, they're showing their boundaries. Milton now is basically that core there. They're showing their boundaries for future expansion, again, coming south from the town, and again, coming up basically right next to this site. So the town is indicating that their growth area is going to be coming right in this direction, and in fact, right up to the Hastings Hollow property. Under the county land use comp plan, which of course is the plan that we're actually addressing and that we're required to comply with, the site is located in the low density area of the plan. But again, as I've mentioned on those other plans, and not that you can see this, but again, the area Mount Milton has a developing area, and that developing area under the comp plan again comes up basically adjacent to the Hastings Hollow site. The area to the north of us is in the development area, and of course that area permits the development area permits housing types at a 4 to the acre density. So that's basically our northern neighbor. We, of course, are in the low-density area. And in that low-density area, as you know, the comp plan specifically provides that one of the purposes of the low-density area is to provide low-density single-family residential housing. But housing types in that low-density area are limited to single-family detached homes, which, of course, is what we're proposing. Also, the AR zoning district, per the zoning regulations, state again that one of the purposes of the AR zone is to provide for low-density single-family residential development, and that a permitted use in the AR zone is detached single-family dwellings on individual lots. So in summary, this site is in the low-density area, and we are proposing to develop it in conformity with the low-density area requirements, but I think it's important to bear in mind that it is immediately adjacent to the development area under the Sussex comp plan. It's immediately adjacent to the level 3 area under the state strategies map, and it's immediately adjacent to the future development and annexation area under the Milton comprehensive plan. Now, again, as you gentlemen are well aware, back in 2004, the county adopted what we refer to as the cluster ordinance, which of course was a series of amendments to the zoning ordinance that permitted clustering. That ordinance created the ability to reduce lot sizes and increase open space in the area, basically providing that central sewer and water systems are utilized. And that ordinance in the AR district capped density at 2 lots per acre. And then in January of 2006, the cluster ordinance was amended to provide that if the proposed cluster development was located in the low density area, which ours is, then the maximum density would be reduced by 25%. So in effect, the maximum density permitted in the low density AR area is 1.5 lots per acre. Now, our proposed Hastings Hollow subdivision was designed and will conform to all the requirements of the cluster ordinance. As I stated, the development will be served by central water and central wastewater facilities operated by Artesian. And as I said, the on-site wastewater has received a DENREC feasibility letter. The 204-acre site will have a total of 131 acres of open space. Under the cluster ordinance, 30% open space is required. Considering all of the Hastings Hollow open space, it will be 64% open space, which that's the entire site. So it's considerably more than is required. The minimum lot size, again, is 7,500 square feet as permitted by ordinance. The actual average lot size will be 8,431 square feet. The largest lot is 10,932 square feet. The maximum density permitted by the cluster ordinance in the low density area for this site would be 306 lots. And as I mentioned, we're proposing 276 lots, which is a density of 1.35, less than what's permitted by the ordinance. Hastings Hollow was designed in accordance with the community design element of the comp plan as required. And we did that by, again, maximizing the open space, creating recreational amenities, and as we'll be explaining, protecting the environmental features of the area. Again, as required by the cluster ordinance, only single family lots are proposed. There are buffers provided around the boundaries of the property, which Gary Couples will be explaining when he goes over the site plan. All lots have access to subdivision streets. There's no exterior street access. There's no wetlands located in any lot lines. As required by the ordinance, the total environment and design is significantly superior to the standard subdivision layout. That's what's required. Obviously, why do I say that? Again, what we're presenting to you is that, again, central water and sewer are going to be provided. The total open space of 64%, of course, is exceptional certainly superior to what a standard subdivision with a 10% required open space requirement would be. Again, when Mr. Couples goes over the site plan, he'll show you that all the lots are adjacent to and actually benefit from the open space. It's distributed, so it's basically impacting all of the homes that will be located within the development. And most importantly, and this is really, you know, a major aspect of this proposed development, the development will incorporate the existing borrow pit into the residential use of the property. So that borrow pit is going to become a passive natural feature and also serves as a buffer, as I've already kind of indicated, from the development and the adjacent wetlands and the Ingram Branch area. And the borrow pit itself will be phased out of use. As I said, the borrow pit is a non-conforming use, which by law has the legal right to not only continue, but actually can expand considerably on the site and technically, legally, could actually, over a period of time, actually utilize this entire site. So ultimately, the residential use is going to replace what could potentially be a very serious commercial or at least industrial, really, type of use. The cluster requirements that I kind of just went over, they are summarized in your exhibit book. They're in Appendix H in there if you want to refer to that. We have also submitted a written summary of the subdivision ordinance section 99.9C considerations, which for the people who are here interested in that, in this, that is a list of items that the Planning Commission considers in reviewing a subdivision. In the interest of time, I'm not going to read that. It's in the record. and I would just refer to that. We certainly believe that there's no adverse impact to this area based on this proposed subdivision, and that the actual improvements to the site and the area will occur, particularly by the conversion of this existing borrow pit operation to residential use. Just for the record, the 99C considerations are in Appendix G. Now, I do want to mention that prior to designing the Hastings Hollow subdivision, there were a number of studies that were undertaken by the developer over a period of a couple of years. There was a Phase 1 environmental site assessment that was prepared by ECI, and that indicated there were no environmental features on the site that would prohibit this proposed residential use. There was an endangered species and natural heritage assessment performed by Atlantic Resource Management, Inc. Some of the comments between PLUS and the applicant regarding that, basically what the state is saying is that over in the Ingram's Branch area, they have possible reports of species over here that they'd want to protect. And again, probably better to show it on this one. This area where Ingram's Branch is, this is our boundary line, the blue line. A good portion of that is our property. That property is going to remain exactly as you see on this picture. Nothing's going to be changed there. So where these potential species might be, nothing's going to change there. And again, it will be buffered from the development by the existing barrow pit. The bulk of the site is cleared, so there's nothing here. The remaining areas, there's a woodland area here and here. There's going to be a total proposed removal of trees of approximately 4 acres of the 19 acres that are on the site. We don't think there's going to be any negative impact on any of the concerns that were expressed by those DENREC agencies. The wetlands have been delineated by Environmental Resources, Ed Linnae. That's been completed. There was a cultural resource assessment that was done by Dr. Edward Otter. Dr. Otter reviewed the historical records of the area. He goes back and reviews the original deeds and the original patents and the history, recorded history that exists on the site. He did find references to one, possibly two family cemeteries in the area. One was what he referred to as the Willie Family Cemetery. It was not found on the site. There doesn't appear to be any record of where that is. From the historical records that he read, this property originally was two separate farms. There was a dividing line around here. And from the report he submitted, he thought that the family cemetery might have been located somewhere in this area, basically, kind of where I'm showing. And for the folks that can't see me, I'm just showing an L. It's about in the middle of the property. That's his best estimate from what he read. Now, that area, as you can see on this picture, has been tilled. And from the aerial photos I submitted from 1954, it was being tilled then. So if there is a cemetery there, that area has been under cultivation for at least 50 years. And that cemetery probably has been obliterated. Also, there's possibly another cemetery that existed on the original site, and to the best of our knowledge, there's a small cemetery area that was actually outconveyed from this parcel to another parcel of land that currently remains there, but it's not on this site. It's on another site at this point in time. Originally, it was part of this site, but it is no longer. Regardless of that, as required by law, again, as you gentlemen know, if in doing the site work or any work on the area, there are a cemetery or human remains found, the owner is required by law to report that and basically preserve that. And it would certainly be our intention that if something was discovered, that area would be delineated, it would be preserved, and it would be maintained in a respectful and appropriate manner, as has been done with other cemeteries. The studies that I referred to, they are in the appendix, in Appendix L, M, N, and D, if you care to refer to that. And with that, unless you have any questions for me at this time, what I'd like to do is turn this over to Gary Couples of ECI to basically present the Hastings Hollow site plan to you.
Good evening. My name is Gary Couples. I'm the president of ECI, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I'm a registered professional land surveyor and planner. I think Mr. Fuqua has done a remarkable job of making my presentation for me. And so what I'd like to do is just try to get to the highlights of maybe perhaps some of the issues that he missed and perhaps answer questions that you folks might have as I make my presentation. I think one of the foremost issues here, and obviously the biggest site amenity or site detraction, is the pit. And what are you going to do with the pit? And if you go into the phase one site assessment that was done in 2004, it's part of the appendix, there's color photographs in there that show the pit and the way it existed at the time that the phase one was done. At that point, there wasn't an awful lot of standing water. There was some, but not nearly what was there. And when I went out to the site, once the hearing was posted for here, just to refresh my mind, I was just absolutely amazed at what had transpired in that 3-year period of time or 2.5-year period of time. And that's the reason that I went ahead and had the site flown. The aerial photography you see on this exhibit here was flown July 13th of this year. That is the latest and greatest in terms of what's going on with the pit. North is the top of that photo, and obviously south at the bottom. But as you can see, the pit has progressed. It's progressed in a northerly direction, and it's progressed in a southerly direction. And some areas of trees that were previously there have been removed, specifically in this area here. We didn't have anything to do with that. I mean, it was the pit operation. So, but still, the acreage that we've shown on the plan, we think is pretty correct, and our intent, after discussions with PLUS, is to minimize the tree removal. One of the things that Mr. Fuqua did not bring to your attention is, although that there are 19 acres of trees there now, perhaps 4 acres of the trees would be removed, there's going to be some significant landscaping that's going to be done where you could expect street trees. And if you look at the site plan, as presented, I think that's a fair rendition of what we anticipate planting with just minimal street trees. There's 2 per lot. And very significant buffering around the perimeter of the property. So although I haven't calculated the net increase in trees, it certainly just looking at the plan would be significant. And to hazard a guess, I'm not going to do that to you. It's going to be more than 19 acres. That being said, the pit as it currently exists has a high wall. The high wall runs in a north-south direction on the west side of the pit. As it stands right now, if you were to walk into the edge of the thing, it's a high wall. It's 15 foot. That's what you'd have. It's the intention of the developer, if the plan advances, to get in and mitigate that so that that safety issue does not exist. In addition, it will be the intent to limit access to the lake as far as pedestrian access to 2 access points. The first point would be an area right opposite the pier and community center. And the other access point would be at the north end of the lake. The access at the north end of the lake, and it's in the documentation provided you, is it would be for launching canoes, sailboards, things of that nature. The lake or pond, and I don't know, if you go through the document, I got confused. Do we call it a lake? Do we call it a pond? My parlance, I think I'd be more inclined to call it a pond, but other people might refer to it as a lake. Irregardless, there will be significant water sports available. I mean, there'll be some fishing, and there'll be canoes, sailboats, things of that nature, those paddle boats that people paddle around with, like bicycle, that kind of stuff. But there'll be no electric or gasoline-powered watercraft allowed, jet skis or anything of that nature. In addition, the swimming area in the vicinity of the community center would be roped off and graded so appropriately so that you didn't have a situation where you'd be swimming without a bottom, for lack of a better word. So that's the story on the pit. And how do you enforce this? The homeowners association is going to be charged with that to make sure that the access is restricted, that there are home sites along there. That the intent of that is to provide view sheds and to provide open space for the enjoyment of those people. That's not to say that we're not going to have a walking trail. However, we can have a walking trail through that along the lake and segregate the walking trail from the edge of the lake with landscaping, fencing, and berming as appropriate, so that we're not providing direct access to the lake. On the other side of the lake, the side that's towards the Ingram Branch, which would be the east side of the project, we're not doing anything. There's already basically a dike that exists there, and it's graded to a point where it's relatively safe. It's no drastic transition, no drastic high wall. If there are areas that we would find as a result of a hydrographic survey out there that indicate that there is a high wall, we'll mitigate that when and if we find it. But the intent is to make this as safe as possible. It's going to be not dissimilar from any other natural waterway that we currently have in Sussex County. It just has just been created. And it's not been created as a result of anything that the developer has done. It's just something that transpired over since the early 50s, apparently. Okay. Next, Mr. Fuqua has indicated, we do have a DLDOT letter of no objection and a complete traffic impact statement that's in our study that's in the appendix of the book. And the results of that, to just sum it up, is that there is no significant impact on Gravel Hill Road, which is rated as a major collector road. That's one of the highest designation that DLDOT has for a roadway, and it's at those standards. We anticipate that DLDOT will require significant improvements at the intersections and along Gravel Hill Road, and the developer understands that. With regard to the site plan in total, as you can see, what we tried to do was provide access to open space and to open the vistas and view sheds of a relatively difficult piece of ground. I mean, and again, difficult from the standpoint of what's currently there in terms of the borrow pit and in terms of the spray field. The spray field was used to dispose of cannery waste for the cannery that existed in Milton. There's a force main that comes up Gravel Hill Road to feed that. That is no longer obviously in existence, and I believe that the current pivot and spray arm is used in more of a just a normal irrigation system for crops. But if this plan does not advance, you would expect that the gravel pit would just further encroach into the agricultural use. If you look at Exhibit H in the appendix, I've tried to answer what Mr. Johnson would want to know, I think, as far as why is this a better plan. And I've identified twelve different and distinct solutions to or reasons why this plan is superior to a conventional subdivision. I'm not going to go through that, and boy, you can read that. I think it's self-explanatory. I hope that it meets your requirements. Certainly try to.
You could get asked about it later.
But that's okay.
We'll let it go at that. Go ahead.
I'll share that with some other folks, too. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
That's fine. Go ahead, Mr. Patrick.
Okay. With regard to the clusters, there's been some correspondence between our firm and PLUS regarding the impacts on this site, particularly the wetlands, the species, and some cultural issues. I tried to be very honest and straightforward in how I addressed them to this planning commission. We're not doing anything in the area in which they referred to. The area they referred to within their correspondence is along the Ingram Bench. And by the way, if you go to the phase one of that document that we prepared, you'll get to see what the Ingram Bench looks like. We have photographs at the north, the south, and in the middle that you can see. But the state refers to this area here. They're referring to the area, the wetlands between our site and the Ingram Bench. That's what they're talking about. We're not our project, everything that we're doing is on the other side, over and above the gravel pit, but we're not doing the gravel. The other issue is the grave sites. I had a discussion as recently as 10 minutes after 5 this afternoon with Dr. Edward Otter. Dr. Edward Otter is a renowned archaeologist. Dr. Otter has walked this parcel. He has done a complete investigation, and that is, again, contained in the documentation provided you. And he has identified, as Mr. Fuqua presented, two potential grave sites. The one in the middle where he pointed, in all likelihood, has been decimated. The other one was subdivided off of this parcel and is part of an adjoining parcel. Exactly where that is, quite frankly, I do not know. But it is, he very definitively addressed it. He says it is not on this property. Again, however, if we do run into issues regarding the grave sites, run into one, there's a reporting sequence that you have to go through with the state of Delaware, and we will follow through with that. There will be no if, ands, or nors, or buts about that. I think at this point, the plan, I think, speaks for itself. You can see it with your own eyes. I think we've tried to address the concerns have been rendered over various hearings that I've been to and heard discussion about cluster, as well as what's in your ordinance book. In addition, we have quite factually addressed all of the issues in 99C, and Mr. Fuqua, so I'm not going to bore you. You can read them if you want. I'd be more than happy to go through them with you, chapter and verse, but I suspect at this late hour you probably don't want to do that.
They're certainly part of the record, so.
Okay.
Mr. Couples, just for the record, could you just address the recreational amenities, streetlights, sidewalks,
sure.
bus stop?
Absolutely.
Basketball court.
Basketball court, too. Okay, if you come in the south entrance, we have yet to enter into any type of discussions with the school district, but I suspect that there will be a school bus in the vicinity of Butterfly Lane and South Sunny Sky Boulevard that would serve the entire project. If you go into the south exit and carry it through, you see that there are extensive walkways. The roadways, as designed, are curbed sidewalks, and there are walking trails throughout the open space. There are tot lots that are scheduled throughout the project, and they're clearly identified on the plan. We have a very large community center that includes a swimming pool, basketball, tennis, all the amenities, along with the fishing pier, and the swimming beach that will be located on the pond. So there are significant active areas that have been identified on the plan for your consideration. Streetlights will be presented and
accordance with just good planning.
Okay, Gary, thanks.
Mr. Fuqua, Mr. Couples refer to sidewalks? Mr. Lank had a question about that. Or not? Just so we know what...
Sidewalks on both, okay. Both sides of the streets. Okay. Sorry. Gentlemen, just a couple more comments. As I know you're all aware, the area around Milton is a highly desirable area to live in. The town of Milton is a beautiful historic town center. It has shopping, it has services, it has professional offices, and it has cultural opportunities. As you all know, they just celebrated their 200th anniversary this past Saturday. And it's going through a real renaissance in the Milton area. Numerous developments have been proposed, some approved in the area. Just in the last couple of weeks, the County Council approved the Elizabethtown applications, which you're well aware of. That's a proposed large urban-type mixed-use residential development with a large commercial component. And that site really is just located north of this site on Route 30. About 2 miles north of this area. That's going to be that type of development. It's going to be a much more urban flavored development. There's other developments in this area, more like Hastings Hollow. In November of 2005, Carriage Springs subdivision was approved on Huff Road. Huff Road is a little bit southwest of this site. Carriage Springs was 155 lots on 77 acres. Like Hastings Hollow, it's a more traditional, low-density residential subdivision, but it's close to Milton and all of the benefits of being near Milton as a town center. That development, as well as Hastings Hollow, is the type of residential development deemed appropriate for the AR low-density area. Two additional points I do want to mention. In referring to the borrow pit, the sale or the off-site disposal of any borrow pit materials will terminate no later than the issuance of the first building permit for this subdivision. And I'm going to submit to you some proposed conditions, and that basically is one of the conditions that will be submitted. I did want to mention that would not prohibit on-site use of that pit for site improvements and pit shaping. But the actual continued commercial operation of that pit will terminate once a building permit's issued. At that point in time, this becomes a residential development. Because I just wanted to nail down the effective date of that termination. Also, I want to mention that I read the letter that I'll be submitting the letter, and I read it that Artesian had submitted regarding the central regional system that will be developing as part of the Elizabethtown. And I want to make it clear for the record that if the on-site wastewater area is not needed on this development, there'll be no net reduction in open space. In other words, if that area isn't used for the wastewater, it will be open space. So regardless of what the final sewer situation is, the open space will remain no less than the 63% that we represented. Now, there might be some reconfiguration or some adjustments, which of course would be subject to site plan approval by the commission, but there will be no reduction in the open space. I do have proposed conditions and findings of fact, which again I will submit to Mr. Lank and ask that he would pass those down to you. And I'll just conclude by saying that we believe and we try to design Hastings Hollow in accordance with the cluster ordinance, in accordance with the subdivision ordinance. It was designed to protect the existing environmental nature of the area and also convert the existing borrow pit operation into a natural resource type of amenity. And I do have the one letter from Artesian, which I mentioned, which again I'll submit to Mr. Lank for the record. Mr. Robinson,
Mr. Lank was busy.
And with that, that will conclude our presentation, other than any questions you or the public may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. We'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Well, Mr. Fuqua, despite your best efforts, Mr. Couples, I might have a question or two, but you all did a far better job of trying to point out to me the superiority of yours versus the standard subdivision. I do truly appreciate that. One of the things I got today by email at about 4 p.m. was, and hopefully, Mr. Couples, you received a copy of the letter from Mrs. Holland. Okay, dated today. Well, I guess it was dated yesterday, but it was received today. There was reference in there about the rare and endangered species.
I realize
that's been a contention between the two of you. And I understand also from your presentation that they're talking about that's going to be on the eastern side of your pond or lake or burrow pit or whatever we're going to call it. But has there been a survey done in terms of is there any dimensions or restrictions on the current burrow pit that would prevent them or preclude them from digging further to the east, which
yes.
might impact on those species?
Yes, there is, really, because the dike is already built for the burrow pit. If you go out there, the dike is along here. So it's restricted. They're not going any further. I suspect that there may have been at one time a wetlands delineation done at some point during the pit's operation. So they've managed to keep out of it. If you take a look at our drawings, they've done a pretty good job of staying out of those areas. Within that documentation too, they talk about a site visit. They were, you know, at Plus, when we met with them, we offered them, all they needed to do was just ask us in writing, and we'd be more than happy to take them out there and let them survey anything they wanted to. There's no secrets, and
offer's still on the table?
Absolutely, positively, sir.
And as I understand from your presentation tonight, there other than any safety issues that might need to be addressed on the eastern side of that pit, there will not be any walking paths or trails or any further disturbance.
We're not going there.
The plan is, as Gary stated earlier, there's going to be a recreational amenity down here. The idea is to have a designated, basically kind of roped in area that could be a swimming area or a wading area, and a boat launch area for kayaks and canoes here, and perhaps down here, and maybe an emergency access place. But there's no intention of that. No motorized vehicle or boats would be permitted on the lake, and it'd be restricted access. That would be the only access. Now, you know, how does that stop somebody from getting in somewhere else? Well, of course it can happen, but it's going to be in the restrictions. It's going to be enforced by the homeowners association. It's not permitted.
And provided your application is viewed favorably by the commissioner, what restrictions in terms of the further expansion of the burrow pit might be placed on that operator in terms of location or size?
Well, my clients have a contract to buy this land, so at whatever point in time they acquire those rights, that'll be terminated. As I said, as far as the application's concerned, it'll continue to operate for a short period of time, but once the work's done and that's going to end, and we'll just be terminating it. The owners are well aware of that, or the operator of the borrow pit is well aware of that.
So has there been any delineation as to where they can continue to dig?
Mr. Fuqua, I think I can answer that. When we first started this project, we actually looked at the pit. And it was hard to envision, you know, particularly when you take a look at the photographs in 2004 when it was still dry land. But we actually developed a plan internally within our organization for how this pit would move forward from the 2004 all the way through. And if you take a look, if you compare this this photograph with the site plan, you see this area here is going to be excavated out. This area here is pretty much the way it's going to be. We're almost going to have to re-landscape that to make the comparison side by side. This and this are synonymous. This is synonymous. What they're simply doing is moving the pit, they're advancing the pit in a northerly direction. That's what we're, as a matter of fact, we're probably going to have some additional fill activity along the western side to accommodate the lots. However, based on the information that we received from Artesian, where it's entirely possible that this area here that was reserved for wastewater disposal, if we're going to the other project, then this area here would, as we've stated, would become open space, and it might be that we would pull these lots back a little bit further. We'd have more, we'd try to divide that open space up a bit. So hopefully that would answer your question.
Okay. And what would you anticipate the depth of your pond when everything's, when your subdivision's open for business?
It's my understanding, and again, I have not been out there to do a hydrographic survey, that the depth of the water, as you can see it from this aerial photos, 15 feet at a maximum. So what we're anxious to do is to eliminate that high wall. We don't want that where you just step off and you're in 15 foot of water. We're going to mitigate that. We're going to, by earthwork, push some of that in so that we have a transition. My guess is, however, that in the middle of the pond, it's still going to be 15 feet. If we were to try to mitigate that, we'd have another burrow pit. You mean, where are you going to get the dirt from? The dirt's already gone. It's off-site. So what we'll do is we'll lay these banks back to provide a logical transition, a safe transition on this side. It already exists here because of the dike that's on the other side. So maximum depth, probably 15 foot. Will it be 15 foot all the way around the lake? No, it will not be.
And how would you address the issue of the nuisance, fowl, and that typically accommodates our ponds that we have in our area?
Well, you know, being down there, there hasn't been an awful lot of nuisance geese down there, which came, quite frankly, as a surprise. But again, if we're going to develop landscape berms, all you really need is about a 3 or 4 foot planting strip along the edge of something of this nature, and you're not going to have the geese. And the reason for that is that the geese think that they're the boogeyman's hiding in the shrubs. That, to be very honest with you, they don't like to have be surrounded by areas that they can't see through. So if it would, right now, this would be a logical place for them to hang out. But through landscaping and berming, we're going to address that issue. Fully address it entirely? Probably not, but we're going to certainly make a good effort.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any more questions at this time.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Burton?
I have no questions.
Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the questions I had is your open space management plan talked about trying to manage the nuisance waterfowl and geese, and frankly, I don't have a problem with it if they wanted, myself to nest there and rest there.
Maybe we get some bow and arrows from the other guy.
They might.
That was a long time ago.
Is your intention, is that to have a stub street as a possible future connector there between lots 31 and 51 on your site plan?
We don't have numbers when you talk about right here?
Yes.
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, thank you. On my plan, up on the, there's a circle and it's lots 261 and 122. Is there any thought to maybe making a street access to eliminate just that loop street there?
Here?
Yes.
Here?
No.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't understand. It is already a loop street.
but to give a connection from that Loop Street down to the other thoroughfare.
You mean over the, in this direction?
Open that up, yes, sir.
But this way?
No, no.
Down.
Right here?
Correct, yes.
No, we really didn't give any, because we wanted, again, to have open space available there, and again, that's sort of up on the hill. I mean, you have an escarpment that comes up this way. The idea was to provide the people that would have a view shed and of the lake at the back. That was the reason we did that.
There is a walking trail there that, yes.
If that would be something that the Planning Commission would want, I mean, obviously, we'd be more than happy to accommodate that. But that was the thinking behind it.
Okay. The sidewalks on both sides of the street, are they going to be, are they attached or detached? Or they have plantings between the sidewalk and the street edges?
Yes, they will.
They will. Attached. Any idea of the number of the graves that may or may not be present on this site?
The first reference to the graveyard comes up in a deed in 1931. It actually provides a dimension, and I think the dimension was roughly about 58 by.
I actually have this. It was 54 feet by 94 feet. It was the potential area. But again, it wasn't identified where.
If you look in the under cultural resources, Appendix N, near the back of the report that's there, there's an aerial photo that Mr. Otter has provided with his best guess as to where that one cemetery might be. And when you look at that on the ground, that is in the area that's already under cultivation.
Yeah, and I mentioned that earlier, that Dr. Otter's map was, again, he's saying it was along the old property line, which roughly runs an L in this area here. And as you can see, that's an area that's been cultivated for
decades
anyway.
There is no appearance in the field that you could see any distinction.
Mm-hmm. And I heard what you gentlemen said about the graves, and certainly if you discovered any, you would stop and make every effort. I'm sure that's what you mean. It would just give me a degree of comfort if you would.
Well, we all saw the movie Poltergeist, and nobody has any desire to do anything along those lines.
I was wondering how long it would be before somebody mentioned that.
It had to be me.
Because I thought of it the first time the cemetery brawl came up. What next, Mr. Smith?
Just repeating for the record, simply and concisely, the site is in investment level 4, correct?
That's correct.
All right.
But adjacent to.
But simply and concisely, it is. And. If one last question for Mr. Fuqua. Mr. Fuqua, if you were to get in a Volkswagen, what would the driving time to Milton be?
You know, I specifically avoided doing that because I was going to say that that it's about, I'd say it's probably about the, I'd say a 25-minute walk to Milton, to downtown Milton. I did not walk it, but that's an estimate. But it's not a far drive, that's all I'll tell you. But I'll never do that again.
Thank you. No other questions.
Thanks, Mr. Lang.
No questions.
Mr. Couts.
Just trying to make sure I understand what I think you're saying about the pond and the issues with the eastern part of the property. Essentially, that's going to remain as it is when you take over control of the property?
No. When we start our project, part of the earthwork will be to push that high wall down.
The high wall on the east?
No, on the west.
High wall here.
I'm talking about the east side.
On the east side, no.
Now, that's going to remain its natural state.
The way it is, when you take over control.
Unless we find that it's unsafe, unless we find that there is not a transition, we believe that there is a transition there. If there is not a transition, then we'll provide a transition. In other words, we're not going to have, if for example, that we found that there was a high wall over here where all of a sudden you walked off the edge and all of a sudden it was 15 foot deep, we're not going to allow that.
Well, I mean, your contours that you show on here show relatively steep.
The contours there are the result of a survey that was done in 2004.
Right.
The contours that are here now are vastly different.
Okay, so that's why
the
existing pond is much smaller than what the area
precisely shows. That is exactly the case.
Because I was trying to reconcile what you're saying.
Yeah, they just simply excavated and continued. They're into the perched groundwater.
Excuse me, okay. Ladies and gentlemen. I know it's late. I know your patience is being tried, but I would like to ask you, please remain quiet while these gentlemen finish their presentation and the commission finishes asking the questions. I don't want to compete with you. All right, go ahead.
That's all I have.
You're up. You're done.
It's more of a concern I have about the pit from everything I've heard. And what we've heard is that right now the applicant sort of doesn't have control over the pit operations, and we've heard that since 2004 it's changed dramatically. My concern is, and I don't guess it's really so much our concern, but from what you stated, you're going to have to go in, and you said you don't want to have to create a borrow pit to level out the slopes, you know, or recreate the bar pit. It sounds like these folks are trying to get every last truckload of bar out of there before they know that the time stops for hauling trucks out. I mean, I just caution, it seems like at the time final site plan approval comes, you're liable to have a site that's vastly different from what's on this. What
vastly
controls
different.
Do you all have to see that site doesn't happen?
Well, I thought I had addressed it, Vince. We actually developed a plan for borrow activity,
right?
There. And they sort of they followed it.
But that's my point, that's to now. I mean, what's going to happen the next two years?
I think that the owners of the property have control of that. Although we as the developer do not. The owner has control over that because he can stop it.
I would add to that.
That's what I was waiting to hear.
I never heard that.
Who's going to stop it, or how?
To the best of my knowledge, and Paul, correct me if I'm wrong. The pit operator, the owner, and my client, the purchaser, they're all cooperating.
Okay.
All right. There's no competing
interest.
Yeah,
well, that's interest. What I hadn't heard. You know, it's not like they were just going to go.
Yeah, it's not a problem. There's no rush to get everything out of there. It's a pure cooperation thing, and I mean that's the way it's been.
I don't have any other questions. Thanks, Mr. Bailey.
All right, Charlie. Thank you. I have one question, Mr. Couples. I would like to talk about that western edge. And just could you describe just briefly how you would mitigate that? What would be the process to do away with that high wall?
On the western edge?
Yes.
It's going to be real simple. There's an escarpment there as it exists right now. If you just simply...
So you just push it down?
Just push it down.
Push it down and create,
create a
slope transition?
Right.
Okay.
And again, I just want to stress again that we intend to have limited access, designated areas to access.
Yeah, okay. All right, then. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. I suspect there might be one or two people. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of Subdivision 2006-26 Gravel Hill Properties, LLC? Yes, sir. You in the back. Come right up. Please give us your name and address, and you may have the floor.
My name is Mike Hastings, and I am the owner of the property. And myself and my wife, Nancy Hastings, are definitely in favor. And
imagine why.
Can't imagine. And I would like to say one thing in answer to your question. All I would have to do is call the people who are getting the dirt out of there and let them know, and it'll be taken care of.
Okay. No, that's fine. I appreciate that because, like I said, I was hearing that it just was rolling on, and Mr. Couple stated he was surprised when he got out there. You know, I don't think the county wants to be surprised in 2.5 years. But, you know, it's three times as big. So.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor Okay, is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-26? Yes, sir, step right up.
Got a handout for you.
Okay. Well, if you don't, we can share.
Mr. Lankin, I can share.
In fact, Mr. Fuquay, if you want one of these here.
I was quite surprised.
Sir, I need you to give your name and address, then you may have the floor.
All right. I'm Jim Shank, 16743 Gravel Hill Road.
Okay. It's all yours.
On this map.
Okay.
I'm surprised. I'm sorry to have to use hand-drawn screwball maps, but I sort of expected to have an overhead. You guys don't use overheads, I see. My concern is the forest problem. I can blast this off of the pond. Sorry it doesn't show up very well, but this place right here is my house, and here's the piece of forest, and it's the only sizable piece of forest in the entire development, unless you go way down here, where there's no way that they don't need the access to the forest. They have it right there. So here it is. And what happens to it when the development goes on, of course, is there's a giant slice taken out, and it's gone. Here's that remnant of the forest. It should curve around like this, and then you notice on that diagram there's a spur coming down, and they all have that because that's outside the development. It's this little section right in here. That's when that's gone, and it's the only sizable piece of forest, true forest, in the entire thing. And so I'm appealing to preserve that hunk of forest that goes right along in there that I tried to draw in my picture there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What would happen, of course, is that some of these, mostly on the inside, they would have to be removed and the road would have to go a little bit higher, and then you could have that whole piece on there. And I don't think that's asking too much. It would really maintain some of the attractiveness of this part of the development. Up here, as you see on your map, let that thing be, and then there's the tail that goes down there, which is outside of our concern. And I just don't see why that would not happen, except, of course, you're going to lose 10 houses, well, probably about 6 or 7, and then these up here, and you would gain that great big blob of forest that is shown right here. There it is. It's a nice piece of forest. And it could be saved by losing a few of the 274 housing places. So, if you wish to go ahead with this development, which I do not oppose, I hope that you can save that lump of forest. It's the only one around that is in access there. So, that's
okay.
It. Any questions?
Nope, but I'll ask a question on your behalf, okay?
Sure.
So we thank you, and you may take a seat. Mr. Couples, do you want to respond to the gentleman's request?
You know, I'd be happy to. When we did the planning for this project, which was 3 years ago or 2.5 years ago, we had no idea that a regional wastewater treatment and disposal site would become available to us. We were quite ignorant of that until the end of the month, end of July, when council acted to approve that plan.
based on that plan and making the assumption that we really and truly will avail ourselves of that option for sewage, knowing that, again, we have two options, the on-site thing or the off-site. Preferably, from our standpoint, would be to go off-site. Assuming that happens, then we would have lots of other area that perhaps we could relocate those lots to accommodate that gentleman's concern. Is that a fair question?
I would just add that I think Mr. Shank raises a legitimate concern, and I think we can, for the reasons Mr. Couples just stated, I think we can attempt to minimize that impact. I know we can't stand here and tell you that we can, that we will not bother any of those trees, but we certainly can take a look at it and see if we can readjust things.
All right then. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Right here. Well, I'm sorry, ma'am. You can be next. Okay. Let this gentleman go. Then you...
My name is Martin Manship, and I live adjoining. We have a small farm adjoining the property, 16771 Gravel Road. I have a couple of concerns. I'm also Mr. Shank, the woods. I'd love to see it there naturally because I built a new home very close to it. Mm-hmm. And we own a little bit of woods.
You own that little spur piece coming down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right here.
All right.
I have a concern right here. For many years, when we had real heavy rains, this is all high. Water went collected there about 5 acres of the water. Since then, the state has put a new tile across the road and goes across our property and across Mr. Dickerson's property down here to Ingram's Ranch, which has helped a lot. However, with the extra buildings, roads and everything, is that going to cause an impact on our small storm sewer, I guess you'd call it?
It can't. They're required by regulation to accommodate all of their storm water without impacting your property. So if it's approved, it should not be a problem. I suspect they're aware of the situation there already.
That little piece of woods also contains some hawks and, of course, a lot of other wildlife. The deer I could do without because they eat my crops, but I do enjoy watching the hawk and a different thing like that. So if that woods could be preserved, appreciate it.
You could try to reason with those deer, but they're pretty hard-headed.
Hard-headed.
All right, sir, we thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I assume you know Mr. Manship. He's a big farmer.
Okay, hold on.
Who knows the Hastings?
We need your name and address, and then you may
have
the floor.
All right. I'm Paige Shank. I'm the wife of the man who just did the chart for you, showed you the forest.
I remember
him. I am very amused by your references.
Ma'am, you need to speak to me, okay?
Okay.
Speak to the commission.
By the references to Milton, we are unincorporated. We have, the police don't service us. It's the state troopers that do. And Gravel Hill is not particularly society. It isn't, I had a delivery man tell me, you should say you live on Neptune and not on Gravel Hill. There's another development down the road, not just Elizabethtown on the north, but Pemberton is down the road. Now, I don't know what this subdivision is going to have that's so special. And I feel you're giving up a lot of not only woods and trees and birds, you're giving up farmland. You're just, and the housing market is not supposed to be doing well. And yet on we go with the building. I just am very much in doubt that this is going to be associated with Milton.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Hi.
My name I'm Shannon Wilcutts, and I live at 16587 Gravel Hill Road. We purchased the property that we live on from the Hastings many years ago, 22 years to be exact, and to let Mr. Couples know where that second cemetery is. It's in my backyard. We've got great concerns about the development itself. For one thing, they're saying that there's going to be buffers. I don't know what the buffer is going to be between that development and my backyard.
I'll find out for you, but go ahead.
And also the traffic. I can't understand how 276 more homes and all those families is not going to impact the traffic, which is already horrendous trying to get out of our driveway now. And if we need deceleration lanes, where are those going to be? And is that going to take away more of our property? Because they're going to have to widen the road to put in deceleration lanes. And as Mrs. Shank said, I don't understand the housing market. There's so many housing developments around us now within a two-mile radius. There's probably five of them, and a lot of them aren't even selling. There's one on Neptune Road that they've dropped the price from $99,500 per lot. It's now down to $85,000 per lot. So they're not selling. So if they start this development and it doesn't start to sell and they start dropping their prices, is that going to, that will depreciate the value of what they're saying. These homes aren't going to go for $350,000. What is that going to do to us? I understand artisans coming in. I don't know what that means. As far as, are they still going to be draining water from the aquifers? Are we going to end up like the neighboring counties in Wicomico and Somerset, where our wells are going to dry up because of all the development around us with Elizabethtown and all the others? And the septic, they said they're going to have their own wastewater treatment plant. Is that correct? I mean, does that mean that they aren't going to have septic systems?
Correct. That means that they're going to have a community system that will either be on site or they will be part of a regional system, which I think is their, appears to be their preference if it gets approved. So
Okay. There
will not be individual septics.
Okay. I guess those are just my main concerns. Just when we bought the property, the Hastings were very dear friends of ours. And they were very proud to tell us that because we were so close to them, they were going to sell us a piece of property. And then they put it under the Farm Protection Act, and they were very glad about that. And we were very glad about it because we knew that we wouldn't be standing here today with an impending development behind us. Unfortunately, that's not what's happened. And that's all I have to say.
Ma'am, before you step down, if you could go to the photo just so I can get an idea, or the commission can get an idea.
Show us where your house is, please.
And this is our cemetery.
Okay.
And we knew that when we bought the property, the Hastings. They gave us a little bit over an acre because that was unusable acreage. So we have just a little bit over an acre. We're very proud of our cemetery.
Okay.
And we found stones dating back to 1868 in there.
Is that right?
Which is why I just wanted to make sure that they are going to do an archaeological investigation. I know they said that the guy did a walkthrough, you know, of the property, but he didn't even know that we had a cemetery there.
Well, he wasn't looking at your property.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying, have they done an archaeological investigation? Well,
sound like they have, yeah.
That's
what I mean, that's, they got a lot of fancy names for things, but you know, a lot of that stuff is just walking around looking at stuff, and that's
okay. Basically
what he was doing. Because
I know Phyllis Hastings had told me years ago when she sold us our property with the cemetery on it, that there was another cemetery, but she had led me to believe that it was more towards the Neptune Road area part of it, behind the original big farmhouse that they lived in.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Wheatley, can I show?
Yeah. In fact, yeah. Before you, ma'am, Mr. Fuquay will show you the buffer you asked about.
This is your property right here.
Yes.
Okay. This is the development. So the closest lots are right here.
Which, how far is that?
140 feet.
It's about 140
feet.
Yeah, it's over 100 feet from the rear lines to there. So that would be open space that would be landscaped.
Okay, so there would be a landscaping in between us before those where those
right in this area here.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying
that.
Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening or Friday morning or whatever it is when we get done to see if we make a decision, or you make all the office in the morning. I would ask you again, if you're leaving, to please be quiet about it, if you would, because we, believe it or not, we actually have some more business to do this evening.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We thank you. All right, gentlemen, referring back, let's